Guys, we're going to be joined here in a second by John George, who is the PA announcer for Razorback baseball, basketball, Razorback football there in Fayetteville. But, Matt, you might not realize that he's also the PA announcer for the SEC men's basketball tournament as well. And so Mr. John George is sitting down in front of me here inside the Nashville Convention Center. This is where SEC Fanfare will start tomorrow. And, John, you started doing this, what, 2007?
2007 was my first year. The second year was that big eventful tornado year.
That's right, 2008, yeah. When everything had to be moved and quickly over to Georgia Tech. I remember that very, very well.
That was a crazy time. But you know what? It's so much fun. Anybody who hasn't been to an SEC tournament, I used to go whenever it was to the conference tournament down in San Antonio at the Southwest Conference tournament. That was my first
in Dallas.
In Dallas, and then we went to San Antonio, yep. And then back to Dallas. And you know, it's just so much fun. The atmosphere is exciting, electric. You got a lot of hope and everything. Today, I was listening to some of the interviews of the coaches, and of course, everybody's undefeated right now.
And it's a new season.
Yeah, it's a new season. Everybody's having a great time and talking about this year and looking forward to next year. And, you know, the excitement's there and the fans are coming in. And here at Fanfare, it's always a lot of fun, too.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was going to ask him, and John, when you get to announce the games, do you find yourself kind of watching and being amazed when they do make a special play?
I do. And you know, the nice thing about it is the SEC allows me to as far as my voice inflection and things like that, as long as I'm doing the same thing for both teams, I can do that. So I'm hoping that there are good plays on both sides,
right?
Because I like to get involved a little bit with the game, and because the fans are there to have a good time. And as you go into the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and the finals, it gets a lot better. And, you know, you've got enough fans from both teams that are there that when they make a big play, they're going to yell and I get to do a little bit, you know, and back and forth. It is a little bit difficult in the early games because some of those are a little bit slow.
There aren't many fans there either.
No, not very many fans, and it's hard to get excited.
I feel for you tonight. there could be some bad basketball out there tonight.
There very well could be. And, you know, when you're at the bottom of the league and you start on Wednesday night, that's what you're going to get. So
what is your trick? Because we just had the high school championships back in Arkansas, and I completely lost my voice trying to call those games. But what's your trick? And I mean, I know you don't have to talk continuously like a radio person would.
Right.
But this many games over these 5 days, surely there has to be some rest and some time to let the vocal cords heal.
Yeah, it's. Well, I've talked to my friends, and they said, well, you know, we'd like to come with you so that we could be there too. And, you know, we could go out in the evening. We could go have breakfast and lunch, have a great time, like a vacation. I said, you guys don't understand. I mean, it's do the games, go to bed, get up, eat, go do the games, go to bed. You know, that's about all you can do. And luckily there's a steam room or a hot tub, you know. That does help because you do have to have some downtime. You really do.
When Matt Jones played, some plays that just stand out in your mind, not just on the basketball court but on the football field as well, that you remember, yeah. Because you did PA for both.
Yeah, well, that the first year I did PA was the Miracle on Markham, and I'll never forget that because, you know, it was my first season, and I didn't want to make an announcement too soon, and the time ran out. We couldn't tell if the touchdown had been made. We saw a signal, but I was afraid to give it because it was just one referee who was in the middle of the pile thinking, you know, well, maybe they're going to call it off. And once you give the signal, the fans go crazy. Well, we had some spotters, and it helped. And it was just exhilarating because, you know, here goes this pass into the end zone. You're thinking there's just no way. And, you know, the player comes down with the pass. You win the game. And, you know, everybody goes home happy, at least everybody from Arkansas went home happy, and that's one of the most memorable football games that I've ever been a part of was the Miracle on Markham. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, and thanks for not talking about the first
he says that every time.
Just the last
2 minutes,
yeah. when you're looking at the SEC lineup right now, what team do you think – how many teams do you think will get from the SEC make it to the NCAA tournament? And I think only two right now. what team do you think really needs to make a run and maybe make it to that championship game to be a bubble team and for the SEC to get three or maybe four?
Well, I really think you'll see Florida and probably Kentucky, just because Kentucky's Kentucky. But I think Missouri has a shot. But I really do think they've got to get to that championship game too. You know, teams like our Razorbacks, the Aggies, even Georgia. Georgia has a chance, but you got to go all the way.
A&M, five games in 5 days.
Got to go all the way. I don't think it's going to happen.
And that's what I think. When I look at Ole Miss and Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, and even Kentucky, you know, I think if Missouri wins one game, I think they're possibly in. In Florida, you know, if they were able to win it, maybe they get a one or two seed. But those other teams, I think, have to make a run to the championship to be a bubble team and have a chance.
I'm not sure we'll ever see a league like the SEC had 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
I think that the scheduling, the way we do games at home today definitely give teams a 5 to 10 point edge when they're at home. I can't explain it. I mean, I've been to see Arkansas out of town. I've seen some of the other teams out of town. They play differently, whether it's conservative or whatever you want to call it. But the fans make a difference. The show makes a difference. We may have created a monster in the SEC by creating all this entertainment, and I think it may have hurt us in the long run in a dominant league, because we just used to talk up and down the league. It is tough to win out on the road, but I don't think it's impossible.
Only one team won the majority of their road games this year, and that's Florida. That's right. The SEC champion.
That's right, and that's what you're going to see. You're going to see one come up, bubble up every year, and it's going to be usually the dominant teams. It's going to be the Kentuckys or the Floridas.
Can you stick around for another quick segment?
Sure.
We've got John George with us here at SEC Fanfare inside the Nashville Convention Center. SEC Fanfare starts tomorrow at 10 o'clock, so if you're making the trip over, make sure you stop by here and see all of what there is to see inside here. We've got the Orange Beach Beach Fest to our left. We've got a full basketball court to our right. Matt, if you were here, we could do a little one-on-one, maybe.
There we go.
Maybe even get John to do a little PA for that.
Yeah. I tell you, we would try.
We would try. We'll be back with more. It's Overtime on the Buzz Radio Network from Nashville in the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament. Back with more after this. John George, the PA announcer for Razorback Men's Basketball and Football, is also the PA announcer for the SEC Basketball Tournament. So if you make your way over here, you will get to hear his golden tones inside Bridgestone Arena.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I think that you know, anybody who's borderline about coming up here, it's not that far. You know, it's a road trip. You know, you're going to see some good basketball. Razorbacks have a good game tomorrow night against Vanderbilt. People are talking about it being a home game for Vanderbilt. It's not. They're on the road here.
Yeah, their benches are on the sideline and not the baseline.
It's different, and they admit that. They've got this little thing hanging around their neck. They're not sure what's wrong with playing in Nashville at the Bridgestone Arena. They can't figure that out. So we've got a chance, and unfortunately, I'm afraid for most of these teams, it's going to be who doesn't want to win most.
Yeah.
On a road game, because these are road games.
Exactly. They are. When you look at this season, John, and obviously – seeing it from your seat there at Bud Walton Arena, what Mike Anderson's been able to do in his second year, and Matt and I have talked about this on our post-game show, the fifth quarter, we've talked about it here on Overtime, you don't build a house with the roof first. You don't put the walls up first. No. You have to lay a foundation. It's the same way you build a program, and Mike's having to build this program back up, and it starts winning at home. This year they only lost to Syracuse, and Sutherland just went off that day, and if he doesn't go off, Arkansas could be undefeated at home.
Right. That's right. And you know, you got to think back to when Nolan first came, and it took him, you know, it took him 4 or 5 years to really bring the foundation of the kids he needed here to the program. Now they were exciting all the way through from the very beginning through that fifth year, but it really took about 5 years to really build a base, and then the kids kept coming. And it did that through 95, 96, you know, even when Matt was there.
You're right. I was fortunate. I got to play for Nolan his last year. And you talk about just a great coach, and a great teacher of the game also. And it was fun. It was fun to play for him.
I feel very fortunate that that Mike has come back. I think he, you know, the way things ended up, he circled around right. He made his own way. He's back now, or I think he feels at home. Coach Richardson comes and visits a lot. You know, it means a lot to that program to have Coach Richardson around.
You say when the team's about to come out, now entering Bud Walton Arena, and then sometimes you'll mix in the Basketball Palace of Mid-America. I think it's time. I think Matt agrees with me. I know there are several people in Central Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, that agree with me, that sooner or later, I think you might be saying now entering Bud Walton Arena on Nolan Richardson Court, these are the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Well, that's a good possibility, and it would be a great honor, I think, for Coach Richardson and a tribute to everything that he did for Arkansas. Now, there are a lot of people who have different views about it. I mean, it didn't end on a great note. But, you know, the guy stayed in Arkansas. He could have left.
Time heal wounds?
It does. It really does. And I can remember even when Coach Sutton left, there were some bad feelings at the time. And then he came back and we honored him and brought him back in. You know, we love our coaches. We love the wins that they give to us. And sometimes it does take some time. I just have to say that I think that, you know, the way things happened for Mike Anderson was just fantastic. I think it would have been a train wreck had he stayed right after Coach Richardson left. And I just feel like that this is going to take 2, 3, 4, 5 years to get back to a point where every game is sold out, every game is packed and loud, and it's like it was in 93, 94, 95. Now, will you have 20 years like that? You know, the way the parity is in sports today, I don't think it will be. I think we'll get a mountaintop of, you know, three to 5, 6 years, and then it'll dip a little bit. But we've got to stay with our coaches, and we've got to stay with, you know, with the programs. We can't I don't know if you'll ever see another Coach Royals where he's coached, you know, with a program for over 50 years, but you know, you're gonna see a lot of turnover because of people demanding to win. But boy, it would be nice to have some longevity. It's great for the program when you do that.
Yeah, and John, the Razorback fans are very passionate about their team. It's the number one team in the state, and we have some very passionate fans. And you talked about Nolan taking him a couple years before he really had it going, and that's one thing with Anderson. You look at this team, you have B.J. Young that is he's running the point, but he's not a true point guard. He's a two guard. He's a slasher guard.
Right.
And then we don't have a big guy. You know, they had Oliver Coach Richardson got Oliver Miller, Lee Mayberry. We had a true point guard, a true big guy, and then you add in a Todd Day, a guy that can shoot it. No, Mike has to get a true point guard and then also a rim protector that can block shots without fouling.
Well, I hate to say this, too, about size. You know, you think we've got a big team, and we stand out there with those guys. They seem like they're big guys. But whenever we had the honor tribute, whenever we brought the 94 team back, and they couldn't even find a warm-up suit big enough for Darnell Robinson, had to special order one. I'm telling you, these guys were huge. And to win a national championship, you look at the guys that win national championships. It's not the scrawny little guys. It's not always the gazelles. It's you've got some meat down low, and you've got to have that. And I think that's what Mike is working toward, and I think we're going to have that before long.
Real quick, before we run out of time, do you have the best seat in the arena?
I think so. I wish I had taken notes over the last 32 years of things that the opposing coaches...
32 years since you've been doing this?
Yeah.
Oh,
I started
God.
When I was like 10. you know, you listen to the opposing coaches. They come down the table and, you know, and they're making all these, you know, smart remarks or funny remarks. I wish I had written them all down because, you know, there's so much humor that people miss.
Yeah.
Up in the stands. By the same token, there's a lot of things that coaches say.
Repeat.
No, and I wouldn't want my kids around those coaches. And I could list those I don't want to, but I can tell you some coaches I wouldn't want my kids to be around.
Tom Fenders.
Well, and some of those kids, they do some things that make the coaches say the things they do say.
They do, Matt. And that's the other thing. When you watch people, you watch Coach Richardson and Mike Anderson, their facial expressions. When our kids would do something that was just totally 180 degrees from what they'd gone over in practice, or even just in the last time out, it's like, you know, their face just flushes out, and they're just like, what in the world are you thinking? But it's just great. That seat at midcourt, it is great, and I tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
I know you can't show favoritism tomorrow when Arkansas plays, but you can hear Inside Fanfare today. I want you to give me a Matt Jones as he hits a three-pointer.
Well, did he ever do that?
I hit one.
Did.
No, I hit.
He hit one.
I hit one. I know Coach Anderson one time, or Coach Heath, told me I should probably stop shooting them. But I think one year I hit four or five of them.
I bet you. I just need one three-pointer.
All right. I bet when he did it, it sounded more like three-point basket by Matt Jones.
I love it.
That sounds pretty good.
Guys,
we're going to have to get a copy of that.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, thank
John,
you.
Thanks so much. I know you got to get to work.
Appreciate it.